Hey, thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Here at Reveal, our mission is simple. Find God, find others, and find yourself. For more information, visit us online at revealvineyard.com.
Well, we're on week number three of our series called Stronger Together, where we are looking at the people that we surround ourselves with. Because if we get this right, if we surround ourselves with the right people, it has the potential to be life-changing. The people that we surround ourselves with set us up for success in almost every area of life that matters. Now, the flip side of that is also true. Think back to a season in your life where maybe you surrounded yourself with the wrong person or the wrong group of people, and you can probably clearly identify certain times of pain and trials and struggles and frustration that came in part because of the wrong people that you've surrounded yourself with. Someone once said, if you show me the people that you spend most of your time with, I will clearly show you the trajectory of your life. And which is true. Show me the people that you spend time with, and that's kind of the path where you're going. Sociologists and leadership experts tell us that you and I will become the average of our five closest friends. So the people that we spend the most of our time with, we will fall into the average of that group of people. Now that might be positive, that might be negative, depending who represents your list of five. It's really no surprise to the Bible. Solomon, in his wisdom, speaks of this in Proverbs 13:20. He says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." So that if you surround yourself with people wiser than you, that maybe are better servants, maybe have better marriages, better financially, better that they sow into something greater than themselves, maybe they're stronger followers of Christ, that you will rise to their levels, you will drift towards them, or if you surround yourself with the opposite, you will sink to that level. In other words, the Bible says in whatever community you are a part of, you are either stronger together or you are falling apart together. Week number two, we talked about poverty, but not material poverty, but relational poverty. We said that the average American today says that they have two close friends, which may not seem like a big deal unless you go back 50 years and the average American had almost six close friends. 25% of Americans say that they have no one that they consider a close friend. We are in relational poverty. Today, social media has allowed us to be connected with more people than ever, and yet there is no depth in any of those relationships.
Hey, yo, Kaiser, bro! Hey, I just want to say, you're straight killing this message, bro.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a quick questo for you, though. That's short for question, if you guys are wondering. Short questo for you. You ever thought about being more like Joel Osteen?
Okay. Morgan's going to be fired for this one. All right. Joel Osteen? No,
If you were a little more like Joel Osteen, you'd have your own building by now. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Something I see. Listen, right. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I was talking to my good friend here. What was your name?
Adam.
My good friend Adam. Nice to meet you, Adam. Listen, he's going through some tough times. It has to do with his grandma. His grandma's going through some really hard times right now. And I wanted to let you know that I'm letting him know that I'm here to help you, buddy. I'm not here to help you right now. I got a thing to do. My house is on fire. I got to take care of that real quick. But I'm here for you. And when I say here for you, I'm on Facebook for you, okay? I'm on Facebook for you. I saw the post about your grandma, and I want you to know I'm committed to put a sad emoji on it. A sad little sad face emoji. You know what? I'm actually going to do you better than that. I'm going to comment on it and say, you're in my thoughts. Go ahead. Let the tears flow, buddy. Let the tears flow. Beautiful. Right? Well, listen, I got to go take care of that thing, the house on fire thing. Extinguish that. But just know, you're in my thoughts and prayers, not literally, on Facebook. You're on my Facebook, thoughts and prayers. There you go, buddy.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
That is relationships today through social media. Shallow. You can have 400 friends. Everyone can put a little sad face. Everyone can say you're in our thoughts and prayers, which doesn't mean you're in their thoughts and prayers. And when life falls apart, very few, if any, of those friends are going to be there to help you pick up the pieces. And this is the relational poverty that we find ourselves in today. Now, we are in the last week of our promotion groups for our regroups, and so we're going to give you opportunity to find some relationships and hopefully begin to start on some relationships that maybe have a little bit more depth. And so for the next 10 minutes, we have loads of donuts out in the lobby. And you're going to see some tables out there that some of our regroup leaders are set up. Regroups are just our home groups that meet September, October, November. Some of them are set up out there. Some of them will just kind of be walking around. If you're one of our regroup leaders, introduce yourself to people, invite them to your group. It's an opportunity for hopefully you to get to know a few people and possibly consider joining a group. So 10 minutes, eat all the donuts. I don't want to take them home. Donuts are free, but here's the cost. You have to introduce yourself to someone you don't know, because we've been talking about community. We need to model community. Those of you who are on a diet, I remind you, the center of the donut is 100% fat-free. All right, guys, head out there. I will see you back here in about 10 minutes. God bless you. See you in a bit. Life is better in groups. We're talking about community today. Last week, I told you that you might be one relationship away from having the course or the trajectory of your life turned, so that you may be one relationship away from changing the course of your life. And then we looked at biblical examples last week of how lives were turned around because of one individual and how they have sown into someone's life. We gave several biblical examples there. We said last week that we all need someone in our life who makes us better. We said that we need someone in our life who strengthens us spiritually. It doesn't matter who you are. There will be a season in life when all hell comes against you and your faith will struggle. Who do you have that will stir you and strengthen you spiritually? And then we said we all need someone in life who will tell us the truth, even when that truth hurts. Today, I want us to talk about community, not just the individuals in our life, but I want to talk about a community of people in our life, because you may be one community away from changing the course of your life. You may be a group of people away from your life radically becoming transformed. You may be one community away from having the marriage that you desire, or one community away from getting past an addiction, or one community away from becoming the parent that you desire, or one community away from God stirring something in you, one community away of the trajectory of your life changing. And so I want us to talk today about what that looks like, what happens when community is at its best. I've been telling you in this series that rows are good, but circles are better. So rows, right here, what we're doing now, fantastic. I love us gathering together for corporate worship. But life transformation, real change, does not occur in rows. It occurs in circles. The most transformative moments in my life have always, always occurred in a circle with individuals who were sowing into my life, and I was sowing into their life. So let's look at three areas or three qualities that make for great community. The first one I want to talk about, and we'll go through these quickly, is that when community is mutually beneficial or a symbiotic relationship. Now, when we talk about symbiosis, we often talk about this idea of plants or organisms, but the church is also a symbiotic relationship. By that, meaning that there is a mutually beneficial relationship that is taking place. Symbiosis can be defined as any interdependent, there's a key word, or mutual beneficial relationship between two persons, groups, or organisms. In a community, in a church community that's working, it's a mutual giving and receiving. It's a sowing and it's also a reaping. It is that I give to you, but I also receive back from you. And that is when community is at its best. That community working is the way that God designed it within the church, is that it's mutually beneficial for those who are part of the community. Now, when we're talking about community, we're talking smaller community, maybe groups of 8 to 15 people that you do life with. Because, you know, right now we're probably a couple hundred adults that are in here, and doing life with a couple hundred people, very difficult. But breaking that down is when you can start to do life together. And so community at its best is when there is a sowing and a reaping, a giving and also a taking. Now, why is this important? It's because spiritual growth is best when it is a group activity. That your spiritual growth is best when it is a group project. As I told you, the most transformative moments in my life spiritually have been when I have been around a group of people that we had something in common with, pursuing Jesus together. Far more transformation has occurred in me through those relationships than sitting where you are right now. Now, I've heard some great sermons. I've had some great pastors in my life. But transformation takes far more time when it's coming across a pulpit and goes far quicker when it's happening around a coffee table. And so it's imperative when we talk about groups that if you want to grow, that having a community around you is imperative. Basil was an early church father who said a quote that I love. He said this, that when we live our lives in isolation, when we live our lives in isolation, what we have is unavailable and what we lack is unprocurable. Now think about that. When we live our lives in isolation, what we have is unavailable and what we lack is unprocurable. He says that if you live isolated, independent, secluded, then other people are poorer, listen, other people are poorer because of it. Because what you could bring to the community, your gifts, your talents, your experience, your wisdom, all of that, that if you remain in isolation, quarantine yourself, then those who are part of the community suffer because you have remained in isolation. What you have is unavailable because you're not willing to give it. But then he takes the second part of that, where he says, but the very thing that you need or the very thing that you lack is unprocurable. So if you remain in isolation, those that need from you suffer and are poorer because of it. And the very thing that you need, you cannot procure because you're isolated and now you are poorer because of it. And there is this mutual relationship that either both can succeed or both can fail. And I love the concept of what he says, that in isolation, what you have is unavailable to the rest of the community. And what you need is unprocurable. Now, let me personalize that. If Reveal is your church and you are isolated, if Reveal is your church and you've been coming and you're not serving or you don't have a community, you're not doing life with other people, then what that means is that our church is poorer because of it. Now, when I say that, I sincerely believe that 100%. That if Reveal is your church and you're not part, stronger together, right? And if you've isolated yourself, then this church is not the church that it should be because we are poorer because there's something that you should be offering to make us better. And what I also believe is that if you've isolated yourself, that the very thing that you need most in life is not available to you because you have walled yourself in. There's this beauty of community in the way that God created and designed his church to function. The classic passage on the body of Christ is 1 Corinthians 12. In it, Paul dissolves two erroneous beliefs. The first is that in the church community, I am not needed. Listen to what Paul says. He says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, meaning the members in the church, each one of them, as he chose. Paul argues that every part of the body is needed. And if one part of the body does not fulfill its part, then the entire body suffers. And so this idea often I think we can come to church and we can kind of think, we look at things going on and we think, well, you know, everything's happening and church is going on and people seem to be happy and I enjoy it and other people seem to enjoy it and I'm just really not needed here. And Paul says, you've missed the point. That as much as you see the church and you like the church, that the church could be that much better with you being a part, Paul says, of the body. So he says, of course, you are needed. But then he addresses the second erroneous belief, and that is the idea that I have no need of you. So he says, first, is that you have no need of me. And then the other one is that I have no need of you. And Paul says, no. We're going to dissolve this superior thinking. Verse 21, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, right, that I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I love the imagery that Paul creates. Matter of fact, go back to that verse 18, if you wouldn't mind there, one slide back. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. Meaning, if this is your church, I believe it's not by accident. But that God, in a master plan, said, I am going to start putting people together in this church, Reveal, that it would serve my purpose in the community. So it is not by chance, not by happenstance. This idea that I need you and you need me, God says, that's how I designed it. And that is community at its best. Look at the second part. Community at its best is the understanding that we're all slightly irregular. Now, if you don't know this about me, I am cheap, which means I like to shop in the discount rack, and you can tell by my clothing. I like great deals, and which means that when you go to Kohl's in the discount rack or Ross possibly or places like that, it means that you may find a shirt that's 75% off, and while that shirt is wearable, that shirt may not be 100% right. And if you search, sometimes there's a little tag somewhere on it that says slightly irregular. And what that means is that, hey, you can still wear the pants, you can still wear the shirt, but something is irregular, and you may not know it until you try it on, but then you're going to find out there's a button that sits a little higher than the other one, or a leg is a little bit longer, or a collar that just, you know, is kind of crooked and snaps that no matter how hard you push, you will not be able to snap those things. It's slightly irregular. The discount rack isn't just limited to clothing, it's also in the furniture store. Now, whenever we go to buy furniture, I make a trip past the scratch and dent section because I'm looking for deals. In one such place, we went in Pruitt's, and there was this desk, this table-type thing, 60% off, and it looked immaculate. I'm thinking, there's nothing wrong with this, and I'm spinning it around, looking all over it. I'm thinking they made a mistake, and the guy's like, no, it's supposed to be here. And we loaded up in the truck, took it, immediately thinking I scored the greatest deal of my life. The next day, it's in the house. There was a change of atmosphere. I went to open up one of the drawers, and I quickly discovered what was slightly irregular. There's a center drawer on this table that no matter how hard you pull it, it will not open. To this day, it requires 5 men and a team of oxen to pull open that center drawer. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about being slightly irregular. It's slightly irregular, but you might have a difficult time finding it. But it's still there. Now, let me say this clearly when it comes to community, about our community. Reveal is a church of slightly irregular people. And I am a pastor who is extremely irregular himself. And that's really the way that God designed this thing called the church, that we're all slightly irregular. And you may not see it at first, but you spend enough time with me, you're going to be like, a little irregular. And I may not see it, but I spend enough time with you, eventually I'm going to be like, really? Hey, remember when you were married and you thought that person was perfect, and after about 3 months, you're like, what? My spouse is slightly irregular. And she's thinking, my husband is slightly irregular. Because we are all slightly irregular. We're all broken. We're all in various stages of being put back together. And community works best when everybody realizes we are all slightly irregular. Meaning you're going to do something that offends me. You know why? Because you're slightly irregular. And I'm going to do something that offends you. You know why? Because I'm slightly irregular. And it's not that you're not a good person. It's not that I'm not trying. It's just that this is who we are. And community at its best is when everybody realizes we're all slightly blemished. And I can give you grace because I need grace back from you. And we can be mutually benefiting from the community. Listen to what Paul says in Romans. He says, accept one another, then just as Christ has accepted you. All the body, take in everybody, and he says, and here's what happens. When you accept one another, you bring praise to God. Community works best when we don't have to fake it. It's one of the hills that we die on. Hey, you know what I hate? I hate it when we wear masks. It's one of the hills we die on. That if you come to Reveal, let's just leave the masks at home and let's just find people around us that can be down and dirty in the mud with us, whatever that's going to look like, and participate in community with us together. Here's the last component, is that we fight lions together. The other quality of community is we fight lions together. Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The Bible makes something very clear. If you're new to church or new to this thing, if you know, you're exploring the things of Christianity, let me make something very clear. The Bible says that we have a spiritual enemy who seeks to do you harm. Steal, kill, and to destroy. It gives the imagery of a prowling lion waiting to pounce and waiting to rob you of that which matters most. That's true for myself. It's true for every one of us. And you do not want to be isolated when the lion comes into your life. If you isolate yourself and the lion comes against you, I'm telling you, it is a battle that you will not win. And the only chance that we have in this by God's design, is that a community of people around us, that when the lion comes, the community fights for its own. I saw this video, we'll put it on the screen here. This video of a lion, this is in Kruger Park in South Africa. And these lions are waiting, you know, they're coming after a water buffalo, right? And the lions get ready to pounce, like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And they take off after this one, but that one's a little too big. And so they're like, hey, let's find the weak one. Let's get one and isolate it. And if you're soft heart, you're not going to like this part. It finds the baby, isolated, and it takes it down. But here, this ends good. The lions didn't realize that water buffalo stick together. And all of a sudden, mama gets the friends, and they're like, oh, heck no, this ain't going down. And water buffalo start to approach the lion, and watch the one on the right. He's like, you know what? On my own, I wouldn't do this, but when I got a group behind you, yeah, there's something stirring in me. And it starts to chase one of them. And then the same guy, watch to the right, one of them says, hey, you're going to mess with one of us? You're going to mess with all of us. And he's like, see you, Mr. Lion, and throws him in. Now, that thing running off there, that was the baby that took off. There's a spiritual truth here. Listen. Here's when a community is at its best. When the entire community says, you mess with one of us, you've messed with all of us. That if you don't have people around you, that when the lion comes against you, people that say, oh, you're coming after this person? Yeah, we're standing right there with them. That's the community at its best. And the moments in life where you're going to need community the most is when the lion is coming after you. And if you do not have a community, I don't know if you're going to make it out. It's the way that God designed it. Let me have our panel come up as we get ready to close here. It's the way that God designed it, that if you mess with one of us, you have messed with all of us. Now, for some of you, doesn't that sound good? Because you got a lion that's facing you down, and you've been fighting this thing alone, and what sounds appealing to you is, man, if I could just have 6, 8, 10 people around me that would fight this thing with me, life would be so much better. I brought some of our church members up to talk about community. If you would, Eb and Crystal Qureshi, Skylar, and Justine. I know it, I was calling you Janine, Justine Russell, and Scott and Vandana Young, if you would give them a round of applause there, please. Different stages of church life here. We have Eb and Crystal been with us since day one. Matter of fact, before day one, the very first meeting in someone's home about talking about the possibility of planting a church, Eb was a stalker and Crystal was a stalker, and they're still with us. God bless you guys. And then Scott and Vandana, they're about three and a half years. And then Skylar and Justine, why am I still calling? I'm like blowing this. I'm sorry. It's time for lunch. Here about 8 months only. And so I want to talk about life and community together, and I thought we would just kind of interview their stories so you could hear a little bit about community and what that was like and how that works. And so you two are world travelers, you are missionary kids, you've been all over, and you told me that when you came here back in December, you were kind of embraced in community. What was that like for you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really cool to see. We've been able to visit quite a few churches and see the different gifts each church has. And this one has a huge gift of hospitality and welcoming. Like, just, you guys have a great church. We love this church. Of just welcoming us in. Yeah. Especially in meeting practical needs. I love how, like, when a family's going through a rough time, there's a Facebook page made and people are signing up for, you know, getting lunches or dinners to them. Or when we recently moved, there's just instantly a whole group of people helping us out. So we really, really appreciate that.
So tell us what it was like the first time you came. I know these two were pretty instrumental. What happened?
Oh, definitely. We came, we sat right back there. We loved the worship. And right afterwards, Evan Crystal just came up to us and just made connections, found common interests, listened to our story, connected us with people, and we just felt really embraced and welcomed.
Mm-hmm. And so what was it like for you two? You're sitting back there, new people are here, and you guys just make a decision to get out of your comfort zone and start up a conversation. I think it was you, right, Crystal?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, I like to bring people in. That's, like, I think something I'm really good at, and probably just, I always say I was an only child, so I'm always, like, trying to, I think, pull people around me and be with people. So I think that's an easier thing, but I do love community, and I think I said earlier, it's just nice to have something to invite somebody to instead of just a random conversation starter. You can at least say, you know, I have something to offer and share, and come join. And it's a lot easier to open up and ask people when you have something to bring them into. So
yeah,
that makes sense.
Scott and Vandana, you came as a result of Stephen Edmonds. If you remember Stephen, he spoke here numerous times, great member of our church, military, got called to North Carolina. We're counting the days before their family comes back. He kind of pulled you in, and you guys found community as well. What was that like?
So we had connected through our kids. He coached our daughter in T-ball, and went up to Scott because he wasn't there. I'm like, you're going to like this guy. He's wearing a Packer shirt. He's pretty intense. And
we forgive him, though. It's okay. We're a forgiving church as well.
And Jamie and I connected. She asked us to come to church, and we absolutely love the community here. We've built a great amount of friendships here, and it's truly become a village. We all help each other, and it's a loving environment.
So we talked about the idea that church community is at its best when there's a mutual, it's mutually beneficial. So how have you guys benefited from community in your life? I mean, I'm assuming friendships are there, people that you've done life with, both good and bad, when life has been good, and when they've been there when life's been hard. What does that look like for you? Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm up. Marty changed the question a little bit from last time, so I have to think about this one now. No, I'm joking. The mutual beneficial part, I think for me in particular, is the fact that we get to help people. Like, I find so much joy and pleasure in being able to help people with their needs. And then, you know, it's just like he was just talking about in his message, the people that are in our groups also can help me when I'm going through a struggle, help me and Crystal if we're going through something just in life. And I'm reminded of we're on a church soccer team here, and we didn't think that as much community that has formed in the soccer team, I'm actually quite surprised.
All these guys play soccer together,
yeah,
as well.
But I mean, it used to just be like, okay, we'll go play soccer on a Saturday night, and you know, it turned into, well, let's hang out on our bye weeks, and oh, you're moving, let's help you move. Or we had one guy, his wife ended up having a cancer scare with her thyroid and had to have surgery. They actually go to a different church, but we rallied around, we brought them meals. They actually live in Central Phoenix. You know, we brought meals out. Well, we actually just had stuff delivered to their house, but. Other people took stuff out there, But you know, they actually commented on the sense of community that they have just within the soccer team. It's something that they unfortunately don't have in their own church, but they, you know, kind of thrive in the community that we've built there. Mm.
What about this idea of that we're all slightly irregular? I mean, those who are in the church and thrive in community, they have a firm understanding that we're all jacked up, basically. I mean, we're all messed up. And my wife and I, we did something we've never done before. We decided to travel with other people this summer. And Andrew and Derry Lang were on a cruise that we booked the same cruise for. And then we talked Evan Crystal into traveling with us. And we actually drove in the same van out to Galveston. And spending all that time around
hours,
people, it was 21 hours. He slept most of the time.
That's true, I did.
But here's what they could tell you about us, and they've known us for a long time. The Kaisers are really slightly, extraordinarily irregular people. And we're weird. We have these idiosyncrasies, and my wife and I were moody, and like they'll wake up in the morning, and you know the other four of them are like happy, and well, three of them were happy, and I won't say which one you guys were. And like my wife and I were like, we just won't be alone. And they discovered things about us, and yet loved us through it. And we discovered things about them through like Crystal. Who's happy all the time? She is. It drives me crazy. It's like she's always happy. And even when things are falling apart, she's happy. And, you know, so we had this long road trip, and our last, I think we stopped at the Iron Skillet at 2 a.m. outside of Tucson, and we're still laughing, and it was just, they're strange people. We're strange people. That's community at its best, because we all realize that there's going to be something that, if we're not careful, can create a wedge in the relationship. Because we think everybody should be like us, but us, you're irregular too. And so what about you guys? I mean, you've been with groups all along, and I'm sure you've had opportunities to take offense, and yet you just keep pulling people in. What I like about you guys is I just see you showing up in places, which tells me that your community is growing.
Facebook stalking people and showing up at events we're not invited to. It's gotten us pretty in a pretty good place. But you know, we've noticed early on with regroups that that irregularity, you know, comes to the forefront pretty early. You know, you have that first encounter where you get these people in your home that you aren't familiar with, but it doesn't take very long for the Holy Spirit to kind of start to work on them and soften them up to where they start to bring out these things that you didn't know about them before. And I think it's those things that actually shape the groups. It's the little differences and those little irregularities that we all have that we let our guards down and show to those people that you get comfortable enough with that really make the group what the group is, and that's that community.
Now, one of you, who's the pastors? Okay, so you said something last service that was interesting about how community just formed and it wasn't somebody who had to steer it or lead it.
Yeah, that was something that really stood out to me because growing up, we'd always be like the first ones to set up Sunday and all this kind of stuff, and I'd always see the behind-the-scenes struggle of my dad as a pastor trying to make things work, and it was a real cool community. Just seeing this is the strongest, like, kind of living thing that's just taken on itself, that we saw people just looking after everyone, and, you know, Evan Crystal, you know, taking us under their wing and introducing us to others and all these different other people who are like that. And it was cool that it wasn't generated by the pastor, which is, it's like this whole other life that's happening outside of the church. And it makes such a difference. Like,
I think that's the church at its best when it's not being driven by me or a few leaders. By the way, you probably recognize the accent, New York, right off the bat, right? But that's community at its best, when it's not being driven by a few people. Like, community at its best is when everybody is playing a part, and that's our challenge, that we would begin to seek it, because if you don't, I know it's an uphill battle because we're so busy, but once you step into it, I think all of you would say that community has been life-changing for you. Skylar, you made a mention that there was a period of time when you had no community in your travels, and just how that was something that you were longing for.
Yeah, definitely. I had a period of life. I was actually in downtown LA doing a semester with my school there. It was one of the loneliest times of my life, very isolated. And one of those times where you don't choose to make community, you don't choose to make community a priority. I hadn't. And it just wears on you, and you become, like, I love that quote from Basil, like, you're not getting what you need. But I had a really cool, the Holy Spirit just convicted me. I needed to go to church because I had been neglecting church for a while. And it took effort. It took 3 buses to get there. It took like an hour or so. The buses were late. It was one thing after another. And I was just like, I need this so much. I ended up running the last mile or so to church. But it felt so freeing because I was running for something I knew I needed. Hmm. I really needed community. Hmm. Yeah.
So the last thing that we said was this idea of fighting lions together. In your own life, had some lions that came against you, I'm sure. And then I'm sure also that you have fought for others. I mean, would that, is that something that you could strongly agree with?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Have a community of people who have rallied around you, or you've led people to rally around others to...
Yeah, we had a couple that did a regroup with us last season that they were folks that I had known through work, didn't go to our church but went to a different church, and because of the regroup, because of the night we had it, and because of the, you know, God putting them in our regroup that night, we had the opportunity to be with them during a very difficult time, because the husband of the couple actually had received a phone call while we were in the midst of our study, and had found out that his younger brother had overdosed on drugs. And so he was able to, he was a little reluctant, but brought that to us, and we were able to rally around him and pray over him as a group for quite a long time. And there was just, that was about as intense a sense of community as I think we could, it was palpable. But without the regroup that we have, we wouldn't have been able to have done that and offered that to them. So,
yeah.
One thing that I guess one of my favorite things about small groups is that it does allow you opportunities to serve and minister to people in ways you would never be able to. You know, there's no way in on Sunday that we could know what somebody 2 rows ahead of us is dealing with in their life, or even if a meal or something that could really minister to them, there's no way that could happen in this setting. And so that's one thing I really love about small groups, and knowing how we can pray for someone particular. If there is something that we need to go to battle about, we can do that. It's not easy to do that in this setting. So
When the Russells came into church, I saw them sitting in the back and talking to the Qureshis. And as a pastor, my first thought was, oh, they're in really good hands. And then the next week, I think you guys were at Barrow's Pizza with them and having lunch together, and I thought, oh, they're in really good hands. And then a little bit later, there's another couple. I think Morgan was with you guys, and then that community just started growing. And I tell you that because we could have numerous of you up here, because there are some of you that are so good at community. You've changed people's lives in this church. And there are some people in our church that when I see a new person being engaged with them, and I saw some of it out there in the donuts, I thought, that person's in good hands. I saw 2 today, new people out there, first or second time I met them, saw somebody else kind of talking to them, I thought, they're in good hands. That's what an entire church, we have the opportunity to be, that whenever somebody new comes in, that they're in good hands, because someone is not just saying hello, but they're pulling them in to community. And that's what has been found here, really. It's been found in all of their lives. At one point were on the receiving end of being welcomed in, and now are on the giving end of welcoming people in. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. And so for you, Reveal, our group start up in September. You have an opportunity. It's an uphill fight. I know we work more hours than ever before. A lot of us are dual income. Children is difficult and life is difficult, and we're a transient society, and maybe you just moved into your neighborhood and all of that. But the very thing that you might need the most is the very thing you will never find if you never open yourself up to other people who can begin to give you what you need. And in return, you will be able to give them what they need. And so, for 3 weeks, we've been talking about this thing of community and hitting it pretty hard. because I think it's something we need, but it's also something that if we go into this next phase of, you know, possibly getting that space over at Greenway and Dysart, man, we need the core of people who are involved in community and doing life together. And as those circles multiply, our church becomes healthier. And so I leave you with that challenge. When you leave, you can sign up online, you can sign up out in the lobby, you can, you know, try to find a group. I think we have 15 of them or something. The Q's are leading a group, the Young's are leading a group, there's numerous other groups that are being led. You can find them online. My wife's leading a book group, I'm leading a group on leadership. There's some groups you just bring your kids to. I mean, it's just, there's something out there for you. And so I want to give you that challenge that you would be a self-feeder and find this for yourself. So we're going to close in prayer. Would you just thank our panel for their sharing? And just join me as we pray. So Father, would this idea of community, would it be stirred in us? And I know that some of us, even as we've been hearing this talk, we've been thinking, I don't need it. And or my life is too busy. And well, that's good for someone else, but it's not what I need. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our minds, open our spirits, our hearts, that we would see what it is that we need, because it's how you've created us. You never created us to do this thing alone. And so I would ask that upon our church, that we would begin to step towards greater community, a greater opportunity to do life together, that we would be those starting today, that even as we leave, we would just welcome someone or get to know someone, spend a few moments with them, and that you would give us opportunity and that we would take opportunity. I pray that our circles of community would be expanding in this church, that we would all begin to find relationships that are mutually beneficial, that we would all be sold on this idea that we're all slightly irregular and we're not going to pack up and leave just because someone offends us. And that we would all gather people around us who would fight lions with us. I specifically pray for those who are at our church right now who are facing all kinds of struggles and all kinds of evil coming against them. And I would ask that you would give them the words to speak and the feet to take the step to invite people to rally around them. And that together we would fight. That when the enemy comes and attacks one of us, he attacks all of us. And so birth it in us in even a stronger way. I pray the stories on our stage would just be duplicated over and over and over and over again. And I bless you, church, to step into the community that God has for you. I bless you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that you're here. God bless you. There might be some rogue donuts still out there, so grab one, take it home. If you'd like prayer, we'll have somebody up front that would pray for you. Hope to see you back next week. I know it's a holiday weekend. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon. Yeah.